Season 3, episode 21, closing time. It opens up with Sipowicz coming home, and...
Is that like the song closing time?
Yeah. One last call for alcohol. So give us your whiskey or beer.
Yeah, do you think, was that song out by then? Because it would have been really sweet if they played it in the background.
I don't know. I don't think it was. Maybe it was.
Closing time.
Essentially, Sylvia is sick of Sipowicz's shit because he's off the wagon.
Well, he comes home drunk, right?
He's been coming home drunk for at least a week, because she says as much.
But when we see he comes home drunk and she's not having any of his shit.
Yeah, she's basically done with him, and he...
Doesn't she slap him?
No. She slaps him with the truth, because he comes back... And,
good one, Kirk.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Good one.
Fuck you. Anyway, he essentially is lying and saying, no, I'm not drunk, I'm sober. And she's like, bullshit, you're not. And he's like, okay, so I have a couple of drinks to even out before I get home, but I come home sober.
Sorry, he says he walks it off, right?
Yeah, he says, I walk it off, and when I come home, I'm sober. And she's like, you're not fucking sober, dude. You are drunk. Yeah. He keeps repeating the phrase, meeting my responsibilities, and I think that's only making her angrier.
Well, I mean, is he meeting his responsibilities?
I mean, I don't think so. I would say he isn't.
Why would you say he isn't?
Because he's...
Is he providing for his family?
Yeah, but he's gonna lose that job pretty quick, as we could tell from the scene after this.
Is he making it to his job on time?
No. According to... he's also... tanking the entire squad, according to the later
scenes.
Well,
that was the beef in the first episode, remember? Everyone talked about how they had to carry Andy.
You're talking about the very first episode of the very first season.
No, very first season, I meant. I meant to say, like, in the first season, that's what they talk about, is how, like, they have to carry Andy. They've been carrying him for a while, shit like that.
They don't want
to
go...
That's what happens when he starts drinking. Everyone has to, like, kind of... But see, everyone enables him at work. Everyone but Fancy.
Yeah, everybody kind of just lets him be the way he is. Like you said, except for Fancy. Anyway, we're getting into the episode. The episode ends with the beginning of the episode ends with Sylvia kicking him out of the house.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
And the big moment was, he was like, can I touch the baby? And she's like, no! And then he kind of gives a look, and she's like, fine, whatever. And he...
But he doesn't touch it.
No.
He doesn't touch the baby. I think that's him subconsciously knowing that he shouldn't touch the baby, personally. I thought that was a big step for him. Like, even though he's going through a hard time and he's drunk and he's drinking again, he still recognizes, like, right and wrong. And I think he realized, like, oh, shit, I shouldn't touch the baby. Like, I really shouldn't. She is right. She is right. Even though, like... this is my child, I shouldn't touch the baby.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't understand how touching the baby would hurt it, because I don't think he plans spiking the baby.
I think it's just a symbolic thing.
Okay.
I don't think him touching the baby, anything bad's going to happen. Like, it's not like he's drunk and he's going to, like, pick the baby up. He just wanted to, like put his hand on it. Like, nothing bad's going to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think she wants him around the baby drunk at all.
Yeah.
Even though the baby's not going to remember that. But then at the same time, I think he also realizes, like, I'm in no place to be in this baby's life, and this baby doesn't deserve me now. And so he doesn't touch it. And I think partly he goes, you know what, Sylvia's right. Subconsciously, Sylvia's right, and he just walks out angrily.
Yeah, he doesn't really have a leg to stand on in the argument. Anyway, this is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, go through every episode of NYPD Blue, and this is the theme song to NYPD Blue. When we come back to the station house, we get a new PAA, and the long and short of that is she's not good and she sucks. And
what was her name? Oh man,
Lucy Kinley.
Lucy, that's right. Because I remember it goes Lucy, and then it goes Donna, Lucy, Yeah.
Donna Lucy,
well,
yeah.
Well, no, because I read, because reading when people leave comments about the show is bad, because they say that we may have given away some spoilers before, so mm-hmm. now I'm, like, conscious about talking about things that happen later on. And I have, and it's hard for me to find ways, like, when we have characters that I know come up twice, but I know they come up later, uh-huh. and I know they don't fucking matter because they're just side characters, I have to worry about how I describe them and shit, and it bothers me. But if you're getting a spoiler for a show that ended in the late, in the early 2000s, you've got problems. Okay, like, this ended in the late 2000s, for fuck's sake. Like,
I don't know. Got problems.
Like, I've seen this show 3 times.
All 12 okay? seasons of it.
All 12 seasons of it. Okay, I've seen it 3 times. Yeah, that's crazy, but I've seen it. So if you can't get one in there, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I know the comment and review you're talking about. I think that guy was just letting people know who may want to watch the show that we might spoil some things. But also, I don't think we spoil anything that's huge, really. And you can still watch the show as it goes on, and it's still fine. But also, like you said, it's fucking more than 10 years since the show went off the air. So it's kind
of
like...
And the thing is like, some of the characters I'm trying to explain, like, this is season 3.
Mm-hmm.
What I remember them from are, like, seasons 11 and 12. Because yeah. I just, like, those are the freshest in my mind because I saw them recently. And so, like, you're going to forget that even fucking happened. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to forget that the dude that we're talking about last episode, who was the construction foreman, he's in a way later episode as a death sergeant. You're mm-hmm. going to forget that shit. That's mm-hmm. okay. But anyways.
Yeah, we have a new PAA, and she's not great. I mean, that's the only thing I remember. She doesn't read the room well, and she tells jokes when some serious shit went down.
And we come to learn she, like, doesn't even have the basic... Like, she's not even, like, a basic assistant.
No, she doesn't know how to do the basic shit you need to do when you work in a precinct. And she can't say anybody's name right. She calls Sipowicz Sipowicz. When she comes in, her introduction, she's like, oh, I'm looking for the lieutenant, and I can't pronounce his name. It's like, it's Fancy.
Yeah, it's Arthur.
Arthur Fancy.
Fancy. Yeah, it's the whitest fucking name in the world.
Arthur Fancy, and she just doesn't, I can't pronounce this. I didn't like her from the beginning.
His first name is a well-known movie. And his last name is a word that you learn when you're, like, fucking 3. Like, you learn this shit, like, and she can't. She's like, Arthur Fay, oh, that's throwing me for a loop. But you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna attempt Sipowicz.
Sipowicz.
I can't attempt Arthur Fancy.
And there's no...
But I can 100% try Sipowicz.
Because, like, I've looked at Sipowicz's name a lot, especially lately. And Sipowicz... When you look at it, yeah, you know, it does look like it's going to be hard to pronounce, but there's no V in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So where are you going to get the V sound from? Where does that come from? Anyway,
Sipowicz?
She's the worst, and luckily she's not around.
Maybe she thought he was Jewish?
Maybe.
And so it was Sipowicz? I got you, bro.
Yes, she doesn't know how to pronounce Fancy, but she's culturally... aware
she's culturally
of,
in the now
about Jewish folks.
And she's culturally sensitive to last names and wants to make sure she doesn't offend anyone.
Well, we're already off the rails, and this is a pretty dark episode. Sipowicz.
This one's probably the fucking darkest episode
because Sipowicz is off the wagon, and he has become
off the chain, Kirk.
And he has become basically himself from the very first episode, but more dickish because he's angry.
Darker. He's darker because he gained his family back, and he knew what it was like to, like, have a family and make it work. And then it was all taken from him, and now he's back here. So it's darker than before, I feel like.
He has a pretty good scene with Simone, where he's giving him shit because he hasn't solved his son's murder yet. Which is kind of a dick move. And is, like, super sarcastic. And is like, yeah, the guys who did this are really shaking in their boots.
It's kind of funny.
And then he struggles with the mint canister and throws it on the ground, and then, because he clearly wants to drink in the bathroom, he says to Simone, "Are you through in here? Are you going to look for clues?" As he comes out of the bathroom, Diane gets a, well, actually a woman comes in with a assault complaint that her boyfriend tried to stab her and kill her. And that's a famous face, Leah Remini, from...
Oh, yeah.
From The King of Queens and Leaving Scientology.
I was going to say, from Scientology.
For being brave enough to go on TV and say, Scientology is fucking terrible. Which, I feel like a lot of people have done that. And...
I don't know if I remembered this correctly or not, but I thought she did a interview with Joe Rogan, and in that interview, I think she states that she would still be a Scientologist if they didn't do some of the fucked up things that they did. I think I remember her saying, like, yeah, I would still be in it if it wasn't for, like, obviously, like, this dude's missing wife.
The abuse.
Like, all the fucked up other things that they do. Like, I get it, there's a whole list of things, but she still would be it, and so would her mom, if they didn't do, like, the fucked up things that they did. So, she's still kind of a Scientologist.
She's still half a Scientologist, is what you're saying.
Like, she still believes in the doctrine and of it and shit, she just doesn't believe in what they're doing outside of the religion.
Which, that's okay, that's a little... disheartening, if that's true. Once again, speculation. Well, she could
allegedly.
Our names.
That's what
are...
I thought that's what I heard her say.
Our names are John Smith and John Smith, and welcome to NYPD Redacted.
My name is Arthur Fancy.
How do you pronounce that? So
I'm sorry, I don't know how to say that.
F A N C E Y. What?
What fancy country are you from?
What Russian letters are these?
I thought you pronounced it Francais.
I thought these were Egyptian hieroglyphics. So, God, I hate that woman. I'm so glad she's not around very long. It was just like, you're annoying. And you know what? Spoiler alert. Skip ahead 15 seconds if you don't want something to be spoiled. She's not John, and that's bullshit. Okay.
Yeah, I think John's my favorite.
John is the best. He's the best PA of the show.
But near the end, skip. You can keep skipping.
Keep skipping.
Near the end of the show, though, it gets really campy the way they use his reactions, and that bugs me. We'll get into that later when we get to those. When I'm like 95. But when we finally get to those episodes, we can talk about, like, it's, like, very comical the way his, like, his eye reactions are and shit to, like, things. Like, he's not listening, but he is. It's funny. Anyways, this bitch sucks. She's out.
Andy comes out
Is she gone? But is she gone by the end of the episode?
No, she's gone by the end of the next episode. Spoiler alert.
Next episode. Okay.
Andy comes back from the bathroom, and he's like, I'm up. And Diane jumps on it. And then he says, what, this needs a woman's touch? Sexually assaulted in the elbow? And so Diane kind of goes, okay, yeah, we'll work it together, Andy. Turns out Leah Remini's doing a great job, because she's playing an annoying bitch very well.
Yeah. And I think that's what the character's supposed to be doing.
Especially for what happens, because she says this Bobby Kupchak, who lives with her, he sells beer at Shea Stadium. He stabbed her after an argument about hitting her son, which she was not accepting because he doesn't pay rent.
Uh-huh.
As she's telling the story, Andy falls asleep.
Yeah.
And she throws a soda can at him full of ashes. Oh, shit. And she says, what are you going to do? Are you going to hit me? And he says, you've never been hit like I'll hit you. Which... That's, you know, not something you say.
Hashtag me too, ABC.
And he also, like, not to bring light to domestic abuse, but he does an Egyptian point. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It's where you do the walk like an Egyptian, but instead of your hand being flat, you're pointing.
Yeah.
And I was laughing. I was laughing really hard. Because it was like, you! Like, he was almost like a viper. Like, you! Oh, man. So, Diane gets Sipowicz out of the room. Because he's threatening to hit a woman who has just been stabbed.
God, yeah.
And
unbelievable.
He rolls into the bathroom.
It's unbelievable what they get away with on TV.
You mean
or
back
what they got away with.
He rolls.
You could only do this shit on HBO now.
You're talking about that entire scene? Like, you could only have a man threaten a woman
HBO? Yeah, oh, 100%. 100%. There's no way if you did, like, a rewrite of this show, and you wanted to, like, because, you know, they're bringing back Magnum P.I. and shit.
It's only a matter of time.
With a dude who doesn't have a mustache. What?
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Kirk. If he does, it's nowhere near the size of Selleck, dude. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Kirk.
It's bullshit. I saw that and I was so mad. I never even seen an episode of Magnum P.I. But, like, if you try to...
So I'm essentially indignant for no reason.
But I'm just mad that, like, the one thing I know about Magnum P.I. is that motherfucker had a stash, dude. Right?
It's true. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. The stash was an important part of Magnum P.I.
Like, if you redid this and you brought this to fucking, like, ABC and you're like, look, I want to redo NYPD Blue. And you give them, like, let's say you give them the first episode and there's, like, a cop threatening to beat a woman. They would say, yeah, no, not happening. It's not happening. Like, that can't come on. That can't be what's going on. If your first episode has Andy Sipowicz telling someone to ipsa this, you little bitch, and he grabs his dick, that ain't going to happen. That's not going to be your first episode in this world anymore. It's not going to happen.
Fair
and then,
enough.
Like, you're going to have to get it on HBO where everyone knows it's going to be kind of crazy.
To highlight that morale is low, when Sipowicz goes into the bathroom, they get a break in his case, kind of, where they have a possible interview with the two other dudes that could have done this. Uh-huh. And Martinez says, should I tell Andy that we have an interview? And he goes, spare yourself the abuse, Martinez. And they just leave.
Oh, yeah.
And then Russell... And I wrote this down because this is exactly what it is. Russell covers up and backpedals like an assistant manager with a rich white woman.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm so sorry. We're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and it's 50% off, and we're going to take you out this entrance, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. Like, it was very much backpedal time, and she somehow pulls it off. And then after that scene is the scene I spent probably 20 full minutes watching over and over for quotes.
Okay.
And this Lucy chick pronounces this guy's name a lot closer than Sipowicz. Father Kanakery.
Oh, yeah.
Because Father Kanakery comes in to talk to Andy because Sylvia is very worried about him. Oh, man. And he has a heart-to-heart with Sipowicz, which gets very heated.
Yeah, dude. And it's like mildly religious or heavily religious.
Yeah, because he said, you are a soul in struggle. And I keep calling him Sipowicz, this stupid Lucy character. Sipowicz says, where was God when my boy got killed in that bar? And he says, he was there. And he's like, well, then he can kiss my ass.
Yeah.
And then he goes on this really long tirade, which I wrote almost the complete thing. Was he trying to punish me? All right, I deserve punishment. But what about my first wife? She did nothing but keep care of him and take abuse from me. And what about him, huh? He tried to help someone, he got his whole life ahead of him, and he was as sweet as ever was born. Don't you tell me that I did something so bad to do that to him. And then he says, Father Kanakery, his death is not part of some equation, it's a mystery. Well, my job is working on the mystery part. And he says, God had a son. And Sipowicz says, well, I am not God. And it was kind of just like a real insane mic drop. Because then he's like, and I want you to go.
Yeah, it was... that's a scene that's like hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little intense.
Oh, it's very intense. Dad had mentioned when we talked about it, which you'll be able to hear, guys, later in a special episode. He mentioned that the way that they staged that scene is that Andy is in a cage that he keeps, like, putting himself into.
Uh-huh.
And the way they're staging it is, like, he's just putting himself in a cage and looking out the window. while the priest keeps, like, trying to get him to come out, and every time he comes out, he's just yelling at him, and then he goes back in the cage. Kind of staging a... He's putting himself in his own box of, like, depression. I don't know, I just found that very astute of our father while we were watching that episode. The whole story with the boyfriend is that Russell just picks him up and that ends. Like, we don't really even talk about it ever again.
Yeah. I did like when she, Diane, goes, "Where can we find this guy?" And she's like, "I already told you, he serves beer.
At Shea Stadium.
Stadium. It's a day game." The way she delivered it, I loved it. Because it was like, it was just so funny. I don't know, I just really liked how she did it.
That's how she got the King of Queens role.
Nah, dude, for some reason, did you hear, like, on that new Kevin James show?
She's just now in it.
She came on as, like, a special guest, and fucking people love them together for some reason, so they got rid of his wife on the show, and now she's just in it as, like, this best friend thing. Like, it's so fucking crazy that they just kicked this old other lady off.
It's like, yeah, you worked really hard to be an actress, and you finally got a job. Like, it's also CBS, right?
Yeah.
So it's money for nothing. And
yeah.
And then Leah Remini shows up and is like, "Hey, so you're gone. We're gonna keep Leah on, and thanks for coming." Like, it's fucked up, but that's how it works. Right after that scene, there's some talk with picking up the boyfriend, and Russell takes Greg off of the Andy Jr. squad, and Fancy has a conversation with Sipowicz in his office.
Yeah.
Which is another pretty cringy scene, because Fancy is just going, "Hey man, take some time off. You're ruining morale. You're not working. Nobody wants to work with you."
And he's kind of like, "What else? What else have you got on this job? You know,
like what else? What are you doing?" And Sipowicz, he gets racist.
Yeah,
like he says.
Because he is a racist. He doesn't get racist. He is a racist.
I think this episode proves that he goes to that well when he has nowhere else to go. Where he has no other explanation of what's happening. He's like, "Oh yeah, well, this is the Brotherhood taking me out." When it's like, what?
No. I just think he's a racist who was working on it. And he slipped up because he's drunk as shit, and he's an asshole.
As he's leaving, Simone on the stairs, and he's like, "I'm being sent home," and Simone asks, "How far did it go?" Kind of like, "Did you just get fired?"
Yeah.
And Andy's a dick still, so Simone's like, "See you later, man." And like, basically they just snap at each other, because they're both sick of each other's shit. And as he left, a woman comes in with a break in the Andy Jr. case. Because she partied with two dudes who left Andy Jr.'s badge where they were partying. And they paged her asking about it, so now she thinks that they're going to kill her.
Yeah. She's a prostitute, right?
Yes. She's a working girl, as they say.
Alright, working girl. We can call whatever we want.
And she was, quote-unquote, partying with them. I really liked that interview. I won't get into it too long, but I liked it because she tells the story, and Simone, who, like, clearly has just had enough of, like, dealing with people hemming and hawing and this case not going anywhere. He just goes, "So you're at, like, 85%. And she's like, "What?" He's like, "You're at 85%, and normally I would take 85%. But, I want you to give me the whole thing." And it was just cool to see him go, like, "You know what? Fuck this. No subtlety. Just get it together." They set up a sting to catch these guys because they wanted to party with her. And there was a funny line that made me and Papa Asher laugh at the same time. When they're in the car waiting for the dudes, the prostitute lady says, "I'm afraid I'm going to throw up." And Simone just says, "Don't."
Yeah.
He doesn't like say, "Oh, well, don't worry, we'll be fine." He just, "Don't."
Yeah, because I kind of think he's reaching his limits with it. I feel like if he doesn't solve it soon, him and Sipowicz are going to go at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he's kind of over it.
He wants to get something so that He doesn't have to deal with Sipowicz's abuse. And I think it'll clear his conscience a little bit, because he liked Andy Jr. Like, he doesn't have any problems with Andy Jr. And Andy Jr. didn't deserve that, so everybody wants to catch these guys. These dudes start harassing some Asian dude for no reason.
Yeah.
And as... Yeah. And, like, how can you tell that an action scene's about to happen? It just suddenly goes to slow motion before anything has occurred, where Simone starts walking up. And then the dude says, "Hey, it's a cop." And then they get slower, and then they pull out guns and start shooting at each other.
Yeah.
They check to make sure he died, and then Vince spits on him. Because
Vince Cotelli is useless, but more than Medavoy. He's more useless than Medavoy.
Vince Cotelli, for some odd reason, is working the day tour. Doesn't he usually work the night tour?
Yeah. I forget. They always have some, like, random-ass reasons why, like, Vince is in, or why this guy's hanging around, you know?
When Bobby comes back to the house after the shooting, which they confirm is a good shoot, he defended...
But he still needs to go and see the doctor.
And they need to turn in his gun for ballistics. He mentions that it's important to let Sipowicz know, and there's an awkward moment where... the fucking new PA comes out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh my god, I forgot it was unisex, and I was on the toilet without the door locked." And it was like, read the room. Like, this isn't a time for a stand-up routine. This is time for you to sit at your desk and do your job, and shut the fuck up. Oh my god, I don't like her. I don't like her at all.
No, I agree.
Russell goes and tells Sylvia, and there's just kind of like a weird scene about how Andy has to make the decision to be better. They then hard cut to Andy at a different bar and giving the bartender lip for no reason. And at the bar, TV is where he finds out that the dudes that killed his son were shot in the street.
Which I don't think is the best way for him to find out.
No, not at all. For some weird-ass reason, he calls the police station from a payphone to, I guess, offer support for what they did. And then
wasn't he looking to find out for sure?
Well, he was, like, trying to confirm it and then show appreciation. And then when the person asks who it is, he says, "Father Christmas and Rabbi Wolf." And then after that, he sees some black gentlemen, not unlike the black gentlemen that were... on the corner when he was giving the lessons to Andy?
Yeah.
Andy Jr. And then he harasses them for no reason. And I think this begins the question that really sparks the rest of this episode. Who was in the wrong in that exchange? Obviously Andy, right?
Yeah, he's aggressive from the beginning. And those three men are reacting to his aggression. Should they have stolen his gun? No. But, again, the guy... we'll find out later what happens. But, like, he shouldn't have stolen the gun. But I'm also not a fan of, like, three people beating the shit out of somebody. Like, you see it in fights and shit like that. Like, that bothers me for some reason. Like, if it's one-on-one and the guy gets his ass kicked, it's like, okay, it was fair. But when you add, like... it's like 2-on-1, 3-on-1. It's like, all right, like, stop after a while. Which they do. And it's like, okay, that's cool. But I don't know. I think he's more in the wrong. I think there's partial blame to go around, but it's more on him than them.
Because I was having this debate with Pops, who was watching it with us. And what I don't understand is, like... because if you watch that scene up until the point where they take his gun...
uh-huh.
It's really not, to me, like, they're reacting to this guy freaking out. Very much so. But then the decision to take his gun is, like, weird. But then, on the other hand, he makes the point when he's talking to Fancy, I mean, we'll get to that, where he's like, how am I supposed to know that guy's not going to try and shoot at us?
I think there's also kind of a, like, oh, you're going to fuck with us? And you had a gun and you came at us, but we still kicked your ass, and then they took it, you know? Like, you see it all the time when people get, like, knocked out. People start going through their pockets and taking their shit. Like, it's not right.
Hmm.
But the gun kind of fell out, and so it's kind of like, fuck you, dude. Like, fuck you. If you're going to come at me, or you're going to come at my friends, and you're going to be kind of a racist asshole, we're going to take your shit.
Well, because the one thing that was interesting is they knew he was a cop when he started talking to them. Because he makes mention, he's like, oh, just another drunk white cop. How about you go leave us alone and go buy something to get yourself drunker? And they start making fun of him, which kind of spurs Andy along. But then...
I forgot about that.
And then when they knock him to the ground, they say, where's your gun, pig? And it was like, okay, so are you taking this gun because you were afraid for your own safety, or did you take this gun to take a gun off of a cop? Like, to commit a crime? It's hard to really be for or against them because of how fast the scene is, and I don't know what I would do in that same situation.
Yeah.
But it's weird, because what happens after that is Shannon and another uniformed cop pick up Sipowicz, and they don't put it over the air so that nobody knows except for them.
Yeah.
Shannon calls Simone, and I think Simone calls Greg. And another famous face moment, Titus Welliver of Bosch, Deadwood.
Yeah, this is where he comes in.
And he doesn't put Sipowicz's name on the form so they can keep him out of trouble. And there's a heart-to-heart with Simone and Sipowicz where Sipowicz asks for help, which is the point of the entire thing. Like, he doesn't want people to help him, and he pushes everybody away, which is why he started drinking. And now he needs everybody's help. And because, like, they set a ticking clock in the episode, they say, if we don't get your gun back, you're probably going to lose your job.
Yeah, for sure. For sure he's going to lose his job.
So
then it's going to have to be, like, how did you lose your gun? And then he's going to say, well, I got jumped by these three guys. And then it's going to find out, like, oh, no, you know, like, those three guys were defending themselves from you being an asshole.
And it's important because he's now in the crib. They bring him back to the station house, and they put him in the crib to rest up. And then Simone and Shannon and this other uniform cop go looking for these guys themselves.
Yeah.
And they find Knowledge Islam, the mouth, as Sipowicz put it, and he confirms it in the crib.
Yeah.
And as Simone is about to go talk to the guy, Fancy comes in, and Simone runs down exactly what's happening to him. That moment, I was like, well, he's just going to fire Sipowicz. Instead, Fancy goes double gangster and talks to this guy instead of Simone. And the way he does it is pretty rad, because he just tells him the truth. He says, hey, we have you for assaulting a police officer and stealing his weapon. That's 5 years. And he's like, well, your guy came up and harassed us. He's like, you done? And he's like, how was I know he wasn't gonna shoot us? Like, you done now? He's like, you're looking at 5 years. You give me the gun, and we walk away.
Yeah. I like Fancy what he does here.
Because this guy has a great point. First he says, or I take you to the gun, you kick my ass for about 4 hours, and then you charge me anyway.
Yeah.
And Fancy goes, yeah. We really want you at trial explaining your side of what happened? And then the guy says, okay, I take you to the gun, and then you shoot me. I think this guy realizes at that moment, Sipowicz must be connected enough or liked enough that they're willing to go this hard on him for what he did. But Fancy pulls the coolest move ever, where he says, me, you, and your mother pick up
grandmother.
Well, he said mother.
Oh, he does, and then he says, my grandmother.
His aunt.
The guy says his grandmother.
No, he says his aunt.
Aunt, oh, fuck.
And that works out. He gets the gun, and then he has one final talk with Sipowicz, where this is when he asks him, what does this job have for you? And he says, I can do good things if I stop drinking. Fancy gives him the okay, and don't make me regret it. And then Sipowicz goes home, apologizes to Sylvia, and everything's back to the way it was. Kind of. Except he looks completely fucked up.
Oddly, though, yeah.
He does have a heart to heart with Simone. It's basically he goes on the apology tour and he apologizes to everybody.
Yeah.
And those are heartfelt scenes, but I mean, really don't know how to describe it other than heartfelt and well acted.
Yeah, they're good scenes.
I do like what he says to Sylvia. He walks in and he says, "It's been 14 hours since I drank. I'm sorry for what I've done. If you take me back, I want to come back," basically.
Yeah, it was a good episode. I'm glad he is working on himself. It's kind of funny that, like, Diane offered her help way in advance and it never comes back up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's also, because the episode before this, everybody was trying to get closer to him.
Yeah.
And then he just pushed them all away, and then he started drinking, and then just was like, drinking's gonna make this pain go away, when really it was...
But she was like, from the get-go, like, hey, I don't know.
Oh, it's true. She was like, let's go to a meeting, let's go for walks. You know, Andy's stubborn. He's a stubborn dude.
Yeah. Anyways.
Is there anything else about this episode you want to talk about? I can't...
No, not really.
I do, because sometimes I think they should change the title of the episode. I think the title of this episode should just be Andy Go Home.
Yeah, I think that would be a good one.
Because that's what Fancy says to him. He just says, "Andy, go home." And it's kind of like, it's the frustrating way of saying, like, get your shit together. And if he was to go home and just embrace the people that love him, he probably would get better. And I don't know.
Yeah.
This seems like a better title. Anyway, every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com. It's also on iTunes and Stitcher. Every episode of NYPD Blue is currently on Hulu and Amazon Prime, so you can watch it there. You can talk to us on Instagram or Twitter, which is AstroBrothersPodcast or AstroBrosPod. Watch more NYPD Blue. Hello there. As of release time, NYPD Blue is still on Amazon Prime and Hulu, so you can check those out to watch every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. If you need more NYPD Blue on top of that, you can always check out Gene Kendall's book, An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue, filled with his thoughts and opinions on the best show ever, NYPD Blue. You can also check out True Blue, written by some of the creators on the first two seasons. That's a pretty cool book. I enjoyed reading it very much. If you have the time and are so inclined, please go to our podcast pages and rate and review our show. That's how the show gets seen a little bit easier in algorithms and stuff like that. I don't understand it. I just know other podcasters keep mentioning it. And if you review and leave a comment, more people will see the show. So, they'll actually hear the show. They'll see that they could hear the show. Anyway, have a good one.